Well, good evening, Radiant Women. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We are so excited for the word of the Lord that is going to go forth tonight to encourage you, to build your faith about how we serve a God who heals. So we're going to hear from Joy Williams in just a few minutes. But before we do, we just have a few announcements for you.
We really do. We've got a couple of groups we want to make you aware of because one of them is actually meeting next week, Thursday, 1 o'clock in the hospitality room. And that's our Get Back Up group with Terry Bailey. It's a support group for those who are going through some really trying times. Maybe you've lost a loved one, you're dealing with someone who's addicted, or maybe you're addicted yourself. We've got a great group for you to join. So be sure to tune in for that one. And then also, on September 5th, we have a brand new Radiant Women's group. Yay. It's called Women on a Mission. It's a very community-related group. They go on outings. And so we want you to be tuned in to our Instagram, at Radiant Women, or our Facebook page, which is Radiant Women as well, so you can get more details on both of those.
That's right. That's right. And then we're excited to tell you about our next Thrive service, which will be happening on Thursday, September 10th at 7 p.m., so put it on your calendars. We're going to be gathering together again to share the word, to encourage each other, to build each other up in faith, and we don't want you to miss it.
Absolutely.
So, and then we also wanted to encourage you, go ahead, and if you don't follow us already on social media, go ahead and follow us. It's at Radiant Women, like Miss Kathy said, on both Instagram and Facebook, so you can stay connected with all that God is doing, and we're so excited to see the Lord continue to minister to our women through our virtual platforms that we have. Mm-hmm. So without further ado, we're going to move on to the offering now with Charity Shelton. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
So in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, I want to read a couple scriptures to you about giving. It says, "But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." So he's saying a lot in this scripture, but I really want to hone in on that God loves a cheerful giver. Because what that says to me about God is that it's important to him that we are willing to give. So our willingness is important to Jesus. It's important that we give in such a way that we're cheerful about it. We're happy to do it. We're joyful to do it. It says in verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound towards us in all sufficiency, meaning that he's going to take care of that willingness. Once we say yes to Jesus, I'm going to give you my willingness, he takes care of the rest. He takes care of the seed. Further down, it talks about giving seed to the sower. He takes care of that seed. We know he takes care of that harvest, but he also takes care of our soul. So when we say yes to Jesus, all sufficiency is granted to us to do good work. So I just want to remind you guys of that in your giving, that as you purpose in your heart to give, pray about what you're to give and do it with a willingness. Do it with a yes, a resounding yes, not a hesitant yes, not a, I don't know if God is caring if I'm saying yes or not. He just wants my money. Like that's not who we know God to be, and that's not who we know our church to be. And so our willingness to do it is just as much as important as it is the actual finance that we give. When we give God our all, including our heart and our money, that's when God can really do things in our lives. That's when he can multiply it, give us a harvest, and change the way we think about money, change the way we think about people. But it all starts with that yes. So I just want to encourage you today to do that, to be a cheerful giver. Say yes to Jesus. Maybe you're not cheerful about giving, but say yes to him and let him rearrange your heart so that you are cheerful and willing. Because there's another scripture that says, those who are obedient and willing will eat the good of the land. So it's important to do that. If you'd like to give today, you can text to give at 36609, keyword Thrive, and the dollar amount. If you'd like to give online, emic.org/give. I'm going to go ahead and pray over the offering. Lord, I just thank you for your heart towards us, your people. Lord, we thank you that you provide everything we need to do this life in godliness. Lord, we ask that you make us cheerful givers. We give our hearts to you. We give our finances to you. And we say, have your way. Have your way in the entirety of our lives. And we trust that you will come through on your word, that you're faithful to do what you said that you're going to do. We love you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, ladies, are you ready for our guest speaker? Her name is Joy Omega Williams, and she has a powerful testimony about how the Lord has healed her. She is a longtime member with Eagle Mountain International Church, and you may have also seen her with KCM as one of the singers during their many victory campaigns. But right now, let's get to her testimony.
Hi, everybody. This is Joy Omega Williams. I'm so glad to be here today, and I'm so glad that Jesus is Lord. I've been honored with the privilege of giving my testimony about my miraculous healing, and I'm so honored to be here and to be able to share with you the wonderful, magnificent wonders of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My name is Joy Omega Williams, and actually, I was named by the Holy Spirit. My mother was pregnant with my sister prior to me. At 8 months, she fell through an attic, and her water broke, and they rushed her to the hospital. My sister was born. She lived to be 29 years of age and went home to be with the Lord. I am the eighth child, and I'm the youngest. The name Joy Omega came about when my mother had the accident and the doctors told her she could never get pregnant again. So she didn't even consider it, didn't worry about it. Well, at the age of 40, she was diagnosed with being pregnant with me. And my father at the time, even though he was saved, they ended up being both saved and in ministry. My father was having an affair at the time, and she wasn't too happy with being pregnant with me. And so she wanted to name me Gomer. And I, to this day, can't figure that out, but that was indicative of her lifestyle at the time and her mindset. Anyway, when she came to the hospital and she was about to bring me forth, she said the Holy Spirit talked to her while she was in delivery and told her not to name me Gomer, but to name me Joy Omega, which means joy in the end. And that's what I was prophesied to do, is to bring joy in the end. And people oftentimes refer to me as someone who does that. So I love it. I love to bring joy into people's lives. And in these times, the end times, we really need that encouragement, that support, and to know that Jesus is coming back. That's, you know, and for the very reason of joy, the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So I'm so glad about Joy, and I'm glad to be named Joy. But I'll go into how I came to Eagle Mountain. I was living in San Diego, and my husband, my now husband, Delwin Williams, Dr. Delwin Williams, we both had a mutual friend in San Diego, and that's where I was living. Prior to that, however, 7 years prior to my coming to the knowledge of Christ again, because I was born in a fire baptized Pentecostal Holiness Church of God, and we believed in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in his fullest measure. But I had a few things happen to me. I married a person in church, and you know, I was adamant about the belief that if you marry somebody in church, the marriage is going to work. You know, he's saved, I'm saved, and so this should work. Well, we did some things outside of what God called us to do in the covenant of marriage, and so it didn't work. I ended up getting a divorce. But in the process, I had gotten pregnant. And because I had walked away from the Lord and I just didn't really care about what was going on, it's a lot of things that got me to the place where I just didn't want to deal with God at all. Very angry with him. Very angry with God. I had had a miscarriage. I had had an abortion. I was divorced. I was studying Buddhism. I was going to become a Shintoist. And then I started going to Lao Tzu temples. So I was all over the place. I mean, just tangential. And I knew full well that the Jesus Christ is the only way. But I had to try some other things on my own because I just didn't see any of this working. It wasn't working for me. Well, getting back to San Diego, out there you can, in a lot of places, but there are a lot of religions in San Diego. So I went from a realist temple to a Buddhist temple, Lao Tzu, and was just about to become a Shintoist. But there was one night I was in my apartment, and I take a breath. And my sister, who had been diagnosed with lupus, was in the hospital. Now I'm in San Diego. My sister's in the hospital in Annapolis, Maryland, where I was born and raised. And she was in the hospital, and while I was asleep, my sister, when I was a little kid, used to put her hand on top of my hand to calm me down because I was a pretty rambunctious little kid. That's putting it mildly. Anyway, I was in my sleep, and while I was sleeping, I felt her touch my hand. And I said, "You're not here, are you?" She says, "No." I said, "Well, where are you?" She says, "I'm in the hospital." And I said, "What are you doing in the hospital?" She says, "I'm about to go home to see Jesus." I said, you can't do that. You can't do that. Because we were like twins. We dressed alike everywhere we went. People thought we were twins. And when I realized that she was there in the spirit, and I can't explain this scientifically, but I do know spiritually that this happens. And she came to me and she said, "I want you to come with me." And the next thing I knew, I was going, she was holding me my hand, and I was going through the air with her. And then we ended up in the hospital where she was lying. And when I looked, when I actually got there, was sitting beside her, her eyes were closed. She had a dialysis machine, heart monitor, and other machines around her. And, I just couldn't believe that this was happening. And I knew the doctor who was attending to her. I knew her room number, where she was, and the nurses that were outside of her room. I knew exactly what she had on, her hair, everything. I saw everything. And while I was lying there, she said, "It's time for me to go." And I said, "Well, I can't do without you. I just can't. You can't leave." And she said, "Let me give you an experience of what I'm experiencing right now." And my sister, because she had, my mother was carrying her when she fell through the attic, lost her water, her brain suffered. She didn't have oxygen. So she was a little slow. She wasn't retarded, but she was a little slow. At this time, when she was conversing with me, I could not keep up with her. Her brain capacity was so fast and so wise and so sharp that I couldn't even keep up with it. I'm thinking, this can't be my sister. But it was, and she was making her transition. So she wasn't thinking like a human being. She was thinking one who had already made her transition. And so I told her, I said, okay, I'm ready. So she put all the, everything she was feeling in her body, she allowed me to feel it. And after I felt that, I said, I don't want you in that kind of pain. Go home. Now, with that, she realized that my spiritual state was. And she said, "Joy." I said, "Yeah." She said, "I know what you're doing. I know that you're searching. I know that you're not believing anymore." And so I knew that God had told her that. There was no other way she would know unless I told her. And the Holy Spirit had revealed to her where I was spiritually. And then when she made her transition, we had her service. It was wonderful. I know it's hard to believe this, but I actually saw my sister in the service. And she had transitioned. She had full capacity of everything. She was brand new. She was beautiful. I'd never seen her look so beautiful. And my oldest sister said to me, she said, "You see her, don't you?" I said, "Yeah, I do." She said, "Is she in here?" I said, "Yeah, she's here." She said, "I can see it on your face." I said, "Yeah, she's in here. She really likes the service." And she hadn't gone,
completely. And she was had even visited a friend of my sister's who was around and really didn't know how to tell my sister she was going to leave. So she said some things to this woman. This woman came to her on her job and told her certain things about Gwendolyn that she should not have known, and she knew that that was actually happening. But getting back to the gravesite, we went to the gravesite, and I was there. At the time, like I said, I was divorced. My ex was there, and there were other people who were there. I'm considering myself better than these people because they're still believers, and I know more than they do because I've studied all these other religions. I'm practicing all these other religions. I still don't have any peace, but I think I'm better off than they are. Anyway, all of a sudden, I saw this great big bright light above me, and I saw my sister. She was standing there. She had on this beautiful pink gown, and her hair was moving. I don't know how to explain this. And her clothes were moving. It's like everything on her was alive. Nothing was like dead. It just was, everything was going. And she said, Joy, she said, I know you're searching. We got back to the searching conversation. She said, I want you to know. And she pointed up like this. And I said, oh, I want to see. She said, the naked eye can't see this. You need to just listen to what I'm saying. And of course, she said, all right, I'll move to. Like I said, I was obnoxious and rambunctious. And she moved aside so I could see just a bit. And I went like this because my eyes couldn't stand the intensity of the light. She turned back around. She said, now, do I have your attention? I said, yes. She said, I'm getting ready to go. He's coming for me now, but I want to tell you that this same Jesus is coming back again. Choose today who you will serve. And that day, I did a 360-degree turn, and I've been serving the Lord ever since. Now, I would like to tell you that all the rest of my life after that was easy peasy, and I had no struggles, no problems or anything. But that's not the way it went. However, the Lord blessed me with a wonderful husband. For that, I'm thankful to even have a second chance at marriage, the way the Lord intended it for it to be. I met him in San Diego. We have a mutual friend. His friend grew up with him here in Dallas, and they met each other when they were 5 years old. And to this day, they stay on the phone for hours, a whole football game, a whole basketball game, on and on and on. It's just sad to see them when there's no sports at all. It's really sad. Anyway, after this 7 year, I would say silence of 7 years that I had turned away from the Lord and came back, during those 7 years, as I said, I was practicing other religions, and I was always capable. At the age of 5 was my first solo. I've always been capable of singing. I could not sing during this time. When I was born, I could tell when somebody was going to go home and be with the Lord. I knew when bad weather was coming. The Lord would always give me these heads up as to things that are about to happen. And I would always know. I'd tell my mom, I said, this is going to happen. And she goes, oh, okay. All of that left. I didn't have any of the discernment, all of the prophetic gift that I guess you would call it a prophetic gift. But I would see things before they happened. I would know somebody would say something before they would say it. It was just something the Lord gave to me. And so during the 7 year, I could not sing. I didn't know how to sing. I couldn't harmonize. I didn't know what kind of decisions I would make because I didn't have the wisdom of God fully functioning in my life. However, I knew it like you know he's still there. But just like anybody else, if you ignore someone that's in your life each and every day and you don't talk with them, you don't confer with them, you don't even recognize that they're there. You don't even acknowledge it.
Either they move out of your life or they just get silent. And that's what the Holy Spirit did with me. He wanted me to know, I love you, I'm still here, but I'm not going to force myself on you. Now, when you're ready, we'll get to work. So I went on throughout these years, living the life that I wanted, the way that I wanted to live it. And then, as I told you, that term with my sister brought me back. And after that, I got married to my husband. It took us 9 years to get together because I really wasn't willing to get remarried. I told God, yeah, I know I've been away for a long time, but I'm not getting remarried. You're not going to do that. So when I met my husband, 9 years later, we got married. So silly. Anyway, I was on my job, which was so accommodating to me, because when I got back, not spiritually back, I was an information technologies manager on my job in San Diego, and I had the responsibility of securing the networks, getting all the servers up in the morning, making sure everybody was fine with their software, making sure everything was updated, repairing any of the computers that were going. I mean, I could build a computer from the ground up, but I still didn't have a peace about what was going on. One morning I went into my job. They gave me this corner job, which was really great. And they gave me ceilings, what do you call them? Well, you could see through it. And I was like right near the ocean. And every day, if I had an appointment to go somewhere to sing or to minister, they would let me go. People would come in my office, I would pray with them. I ended up being with a group of multicultural people who worship the Lord. It was really neat. It was about a group, about 20 to 25 of us. And we would go around ministering. Now, when I got with this group after I dedicated my life to the Lord, I didn't know where to start, didn't know where to go. But I was driving in my car, and while I was driving, I heard this sound. The sound was familiar. It was a group of people singing a song to the Lord. And I stopped my car. I got out the car and I peeked in the door. And this guy, Chuck, said, come on in, come on in. I was like, no, not ready for that yet. He said, come on in, come on in. So when I came on in and next thing I knew, I was ministering with this group and was directing a choir of 300 voices. And I was operating in the gifts that God had given to me. And it was a wonderful time. And that's how I met my husband, Chuck, who lived in San Diego, actually moved there because my husband introduced him to his now wife, who came here to Texas from San Diego to study. And she's a registered nurse. And so after that happened, they wanted to return the favor. And they did. I'm glad I actually listened to the Lord when he told me 9 years later. He said, now, Joy, this is your husband. I have brought him to you. This is your husband. I said, oh, okay. So you want me to get married? He said, yes. I said, by that time, we were ready to get married. It was really nice to find out that we had a lot in common. We were sitting down at dinner. We went to my favorite restaurant on the beach called Cardiff, which is in Cardiff by the Sea. It's no longer there, but it was called the Beach House. And we started talking, found out we both were conservative. And he's like, you're a Republican and you live in San Diego. I was like, okay, that's real funny. Ha ha. Anyway, we started talking and I told him that I had recorded a CD. At that time, he was unaware that the Lord, a month before that, had called me off my job and told me he wanted me to give back to him everything that he supplied for me and that he was going to take me to a place that I've never been and that he was going to do some incredible works through me. And I told him, I said, okay.
Okay, I'm not ready for this. I said, you gave me a nice Beamer. You gave me my own house here in San Diego. I'm a manager making good money. I'm having a problem with that. So he said, the Lord said, Joy, have I always taken care of you? I said, yes, you have, Father. He said, well, just do what I say. So I handed in my resignation. And that night, I was talking to him and let him know that I had recorded a CD because the Lord had called me to do it. And I didn't have the finances to do it. But long story short, the Lord made a way for me to record in the studio where Janet Jackson recorded on her very mic for free. And the Lord brought people to himself through my ministry there. A rap group came and asked how could they have what I had. And they accepted the Lord while I was recording. A lot of things happened, miraculous things. But let me get to the miracle of my healing. And after I met my husband, and I told the Lord, I said, okay, I'm all right. Okay, I'm ready to go. I said, now, you can take me anywhere but to Texas. I'm not moving to Texas, okay? So that's the deal. Well, you know where I'm staying right now. I'm in Texas. And I told the Lord, I said, okay, this is really funny. But I'm so glad he brought me here. Oh, my goodness, for many reasons. At the top of that list is because I'm here at Eagle Mountain. I love my pastors. They're phenomenal. Okay, so let me get to America. So if I get on my pastors and the church, and I will never get to this healing. So I get back to that. Anyway, I had finished my CD. My husband knew all the people to get it produced and released. And with that, I moved here. He proposed to me on Valentine's Day. For you who are single, I was 39 years old when I got remarried. I did not live with my husband. I did not cohabitate or any of those things. My husband made it very clear to me, we will not be doing this and we will not be doing this. We're going to have a holy marriage. I want you as my wife. So just forget about all of that other stuff. This marriage is not going to be like that. So if you're waiting for your husband, the priest of your home, I want to encourage you to let you know that God does answer that prayer. And so after living here I moved here in 2003, and in 2005, I was having some complications. I had 6 fibroids, abdominal fibroids, and they were pushing up on some of my organs. It really wasn't fitting in my body, and it looked like I was pregnant, like almost 3-4 months pregnant. So we went to the doctors, and they said, well, there's nothing we can do unless, you know, we can have them removed surgically. But that wasn't an option for me at that time. I was in pain, but it wasn't excruciating. But there was one night when I went to bed, and I was tossing and turning, and I was in so much pain. I was like, what is going on? And it wasn't from my abdomen. It's like from my back. And I said, honey, I can't go to sleep. I can't even lie on my back. I'm in so much pain. He said, well, darling, that doesn't sound good. Let's take you to the hospital. So he took me to a clinic right around the corner. They took some blood, and they said, Dr. Williams, you need to take your wife immediately to emergency. She is very ill, very sick, and we can't help her here. You need to take her right away. So he took me to the hospital, and they took blood, and they told him that I was very ill, that they had to admit me, and that whatever he needed to do, he needed to get it settled and then come back. And so my husband works at JPS. It was like maybe 2 miles away, and I was at Harris Methodist. And he works at night, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at night,
from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. in the psych ER ward at the hospital. And so when he would get off, he would come to see me at the hospital. And every day he would come, I was worse. The doctors were telling him to prepare for the worst. We don't see her recovering from this at all. And there's nothing else we can do. At that time, I had about 10 to 12 doctors. Everybody's working on me, trying to keep me alive. But they just got to a point where there was nothing else they could do. So they told my husband, all we can do is just put her on a morphine drip and keep her comfortable until she passes or, you know, just is no longer here, dies. So my husband told them, he said, my wife's not going to die. That's not the way my God works. We've only been married for like a couple of years. He doesn't give gifts and he doesn't take them away. He said, if there's something that's going on, we are going to stand in faith. We're going to believe God. I was diagnosed with a kidney infection, and it's a diagnosis of pyelonephritis. And they were saying that no one ever recovers from this. The complication came when they found out that I had E. coli in my blood, and I had become septic, and so I had to just stay there until they figured out what was going on. Well, they figured it out, but it was like 10 days later I'm in the hospital, and so I'm crying out to the Lord. You know, I've dedicated my life to you. I've turned my life around. You know, I'm yours. You know, what is going on? I'm an example of your love. And these people see me in here. I'm sick. I'm a recording artist. I'm on TV and radio, and people are going to see me here. What is going on? I'm not supposed to be here. And so my husband, he talked to me. He said, Joy, I know you don't like this situation, but why don't you do, and why don't you perform the purpose for which God created you and bring joy to these people in this hospital? Why don't you minister to them? And of course, I looked at him like he had lost his mind. I'm lying here dying. Are you for real? And so somebody, what is he talking about? Minister to other people. I need somebody to minister to me. So he brought my CD in the hospital, started giving it around, giving it out to people. People were getting healed. They didn't have to have operations. Women who were having difficulty delivering their babies, it was just, everything was just happening so wonderfully. The manager, the rector of the hospital, said he wanted to come into the room. He would come in and have his lunch there because he said he felt a presence and so much peace that he just wanted to sit in the room. All of this was going on. It helped me not to focus on what was happening to me, but I still was in a lot of pain. I had about 30 pounds of fluid on my body because my kidneys had shut down. And if you had tapped my skin, the imprint of your finger would stay in my skin for a few seconds before it would come out because I had so much fluid. So I was in the hospital for 14 days. On the 12th day, I still see this. On the 12th day, my husband came in from the hospital. He was working at JPS Hospital, and he came in. And one night he was sitting there. The night before, my best friend, Dr. Eloise Smith, who's an anesthesiologist right here in Fort Worth, came in. And when she saw me, she said, oh, no. And she has a gift of healing. She said, oh, no. She said, we're going to pray. She said, you will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And so with that, I saw a tunnel. There was a light at the end of this tunnel, and there was a dark end. I was at the dark end, and she was at the light, where the light was. I could see her standing in between, like she was standing in the gap, giving me the strength and the wisdom to know what was happening to me so that I could receive my complete healing. But the next night, as I said, my husband came in the room, and the Holy Spirit, my husband was slumped over. He was asleep. He was so tired. And I heard this wind come in the room. And I woke up. Now, mind you, I'm on a morphine drip.
But if this happens to you, you will wake up. And all of a sudden, I saw these beautiful colors in the wind going through my room, my hospital room, and colors I'd never seen. It's just, I knew it was the Holy Spirit, and he was just dancing. He had manifested himself into something so beautiful that I was wide awake. I was like, whoa, what is that? And all of a sudden, I heard someone call my voice. He said, Joy. I knew who this was. This is the voice of Jesus. I know his voice. He said, Joy. I said, yeah, because I was like really out of it. He said, do you love me? Do I love you? He said, I want you to feed my sheep. I didn't answer because I remembered who he made that statement, that he asked that question of in the Bible. And I was like, okay, well, this is great, but I have my level of submission and yielding to you, Father, but I'm not on that level. I'm not doing all of that. This is just let me sing and go to church and get my tithes, and that's it. I'm not living a life as a citizen of the kingdom. You're asking me to live holy, to live set apart, to be sanctified. I'm not trying to do that. And so just let me do this Christian thing my way. Can we just do that? So he went away. The Holy Spirit left the room, the light left the room. And the next night, the 13th night, he came in that room. I was like, oh no, he's not here again. Because you know, he'd like to make like you're not envisioning this real. This is probably just you dreaming the night before. It's like, okay, I'm just dreaming. I'm on drugs, so that's probably not really happening to me. But the second night, the next night he came again. The Holy Spirit came in the room, great big light, and started dancing around the room. I was like, wow, what? And I heard him call my name. He said, Joy. I was like, what, Lord? He said, do you love me? I said, you know I do, with all my heart. But here, I'm here. I'm lying here. I'm dying. How can I serve you if I'm dying? How is this going to happen? So after I heard his voice, all of a sudden, I saw his feet. It got really quiet. I saw his feet come down, and I saw the holes in his feet. And I saw his robe. And he was so beautiful, so majestic, so regal. You could see that he has all power in his life, in him. Everything was created. You could see that he was in control of everything, that he had all power. In the same token, you could see he was gentle as a lamb. And in his eyes were illuminated with fire. In his hands, I could see the nails in his hands. And then when he came, everything, like I was telling you about my sister Gwendolyn, his hair was alive, his clothes were alive. Everything on him was life. There was nothing dead on him. Everything came to life. I'd never seen anything like that before, to see life in him. So I decided, yeah, I'm going to be a citizen of the kingdom. I have all the rights of a citizen, and I'm going to live as a citizen of the kingdom for you, Father. I'm going to do this. When he came into my room, he was so smooth. It was just wonderful. It was just like he was gliding on air, and he came in, he touched my right shoulder. He said, be healed. And once he did that, all the E. coli and fluid came rushing out of my body. The machines were going off, making all these noises. The nurses were running in the room. Like, what is going on? And the next day, the doctors came, and they couldn't explain it. They said, this is impossible. They looked at all my levels, all my charts. Everything that was going was a problem for me and was killing me had ceased. There was no problem at all. They took away all the machines except for my heart monitor. And they told my husband that I could go home because they and my husband, of course, he told them that the Lord had healed me. And they knew it was a miracle. And so that night, I'm happy, I'm thankful. So when I get out of here, devil, you messed up, because it's on now. This is it, sister, it's on. I'm on, I'm full on for God. And so I was sleeping so soundly, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, Joy, Joy. His voice was very, he was alarming me. And he said, Joy, Joy, wake up. There's a woman coming in the room. If she gives you this medicine, it's going to kill you instantly. Now, this is after the Lord had healed me, and I'm about to go home. That night, when I awakened, and I looked up, and I said, what is that? And the woman it was as if she was in a trance, and she had no idea she was doing what she was doing. When she looked at me, she dropped the vial and ran out of the room. The next day, the doctor had told my husband, had she succeeded in putting that in my IV, I would have been killed instantly. So I'm very aware of the spiritual realm, how it is more, it's more real than what we see here. The other miracle is that when I was telling you about my six pre-existing fibroids, that we went back to my gynecologist, and she asked my husband, had I had surgery? And he said, no. And she goes, well, where are the fibroids? Where are the six fibroids? And she said, look at this. And she showed us, you know, on the screen. She's like, what happened? So, of course, we told her how I was healed. We left her a CD, and we told her about the wonderful miracles that the Lord had performed. The doctors told my husband that I would be back, that I would never recover from this, that I would always have problems with it. And I told him, I said, yeah, I'll be back, but it'll be to pray for people, to tell the world about how good God is, lay hands on the sick. I said, yeah, I'll be back, all right. So they were like, no, that's not what we meant. I was like, well, that's what I meant. And so let me see, 2005, no complications, none of that. I have been healed through and through. I'm a witness about faith and believing in faith because my husband was taught so well here at this church with Brother Copeland on having the faith of a mustard seed and moving mountains and believing God can do anything. I'm so thankful for Brother and Sister Copeland, for my pastors. I know I always smile when I say their names because they make me smile. They're just so full of the Holy Spirit and so joyful just to be in His service. And I'm honored to be here. I actually cried the whole service, the first service I came, I cried the whole service because I said, I'm home, honey, I'm home. And I was I'm so glad to be here. I want to continue to be an integral part of kingdom building here at my church. I just want to let you know the final messages that Jesus gave to me to tell the world. One, that He loves you more than you could ever know. Two, He's coming back. He knows what you're going through. He knows that you're having hard times, that these are situations you're in, but He wants to let you know He's praying for you. He's praying for you right now, and you're going to make it through this with His help.
And he has sent us the Holy Spirit. And all we have to do is acknowledge him first thing in the morning when we go to bed all day long. He's right with us. And the third message is he wants to let you know that it wasn't a mistake. Wasn't a mistake that he laid down his life for you. And that he loves you so much that if he had to do it all again, he would. That just really touched my heart. He said, Joy, let them know. I haven't forgotten. I'm still here with them, and I'll be back again.
Wow, well, what a powerful, powerful word and testimony of God's healing power. I know that ministered to me the first time I heard it, as I'm sure it ministered to you. And if you're watching from wherever you're watching and you feel like you need prayer concerning anything, we want you to know that you can call us at 877-281-6297. And we have prayer ministers on the phones ready and available to take your call, to pray over you, pray the word of God over you, agree with you in faith. So if you feel the Holy Spirit moving, we want to encourage you to call us and let us come into agreement with you.
Absolutely. And we also want to hear your testimony. If what Joy ministered tonight inspired you, or maybe it helped you with a breakthrough of some sort, We want to hear that testimony. And you can contact us at women@emic.org.
Praise the Lord. And so don't miss our next Thrive service happening Thursday, September 10th at 7 p.m. We're excited to be able to connect with you again as the women of Eagle Mountain International Church. But until then, remember that God loves you,
we love you, and Jesus is Lord.